If there were things that you could do that were things that were important, and you could only do them once, it would be nice, wouldn't it, to just have some things done once. It was last week, I was cleaning out my gutters, because what they did when they built our house is, instead of taking down all the trees, they just made a little place for a very little lawn, and they put the house right in the middle of it. And basically our house sits in the middle of a woods, as do all the other houses in our housing development. And so what happens in the fall is the leaves come down and they plug up those gutters and they get full of water because they won't drain, and then they start to pull off the house. And I don't like going up there too much anymore, but it was a nice day. The roof was dry. There was no leaves on the roof, and there was no ice, no water. So I went up, and I'm kind of a chicken, but I'm kind of smart too sometimes. I surprise myself. I had an old hockey stick, and it would just fit in the gutter. So I would go up, and I would sit on the roof, and I could reach down there near the edge of the two-story roof with the hockey stick, and I could just pop those leaves out and clear them out and all of the rest. And so I did that. I had to get close to the edge because the leaves and the water had weighted the gutters so much that they had started to pull away from the house, so I had to hammer them back in and do a few other things. 2 days later, all of the oak leaves around us, they're the last ones to fall in the fall, I don't know if you knew that, but they are, decided it was time for them to just cut loose. And I had enjoyed my clean gutters for 2 days, and now every oak leaf in the town of Fairport decided to infest my gutters again, and they're all... Well, all I can say is it would have been nice to just do that once, right? Just one time, just once, and have it done. You can feel for me. You live in Syracuse, right? Wouldn't it be nice to just clear the snow out of your driveway once? Just once, and it's all done. Every other snowflake for the entire year would just miss your driveway. Nope, that one's been cleared. Don't, you know. Once, wouldn't that be good? I think of this time of year and all the goodies that are around, and I think, you know, wouldn't it be nice if you could get in shape just once? Once, and it would last, right, forever. So like when you're 18, right, you get in shape, you eat right for one day, you do one push-up, one sit-up, one whatever, right, and you're in shape for the rest of your life. Wouldn't that be good? Because then we could enjoy all the Christmas cookies we wanted and all the donuts. And I was wishing last week that I could just apologize once. My wife and I were on the way here. I have that easy pass in my car, so I can just, you know, you come up to the toll booth on 90 and you just drive through, right? That's what you do. So sometimes when the easy pass lane, because they have a special lane, there'll be 10, 15 cars there, and the lane that has the guy that hands out the ticket is sitting empty. Your easy pass works in that lane too. And so I just swung into that lane and I pulled up. And what happens in those lanes, if they haven't been used, you know, if an easy pass hasn't gone through them anytime soon, you pull up, it takes the computer a while to spin up, you know, it yawns, does whatever computers do, and right? And then there's a little traffic light over there. And when you go through, what's supposed to happen is it says easy pass accepted, and a green light flashes, right, and you know you're good. But when you go through the one where the man hands out the ticket and you go past him, sometimes it takes the system a little bit to wake up, and the light doesn't turn green as you roll through. The light just stays red. But I found from doing this a number of times that it still reads the tag and the bill comes through okay. But my wife, who's a rule follower, right? She doesn't know that. All she knows is that I'm rolling through and the light is red. And so I hear about that, right? And we had an energetic discussion for about 5 minutes. You can't go through like that. The light is red. Why do you do that? They're going to take our tag away. They'll probably take our car away. And I can't. Why do you do that? You always make me so mad. You always. And on and on. It went on for 5 minutes. And then for the remainder of the hour and 10 minutes on the ride to Syracuse, it was quiet. When I got here, she informed me that I should apologize. And it's like, okay, I should have known. She's in the car. This is how it rolls. I just was not thinking, right? Wouldn't it be nice if I could just apologize once? Honey, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And that would be it for like the rest of the marriage. Wouldn't that be nice? Right? It would just... But it's like a mantra with me now. Right? I can feel it coming on. Honey, whatever I did, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I didn't mean to. I didn't mean it. I know I did it. Whatever it was me. I'm just... Once. Wouldn't it be nice if you could do some things once and they would be good for the rest of your life? So when we come to something that tells us this is once for all time, I'm paying attention. I want to know what that is, what once for all time. Because if it's once for all time, and it's really something that's done once and like for all time, it's good. Oh, I want to hear about that. I want to know about that. I want to know what it is that has that kind of lifespan. And we're going to hear about it this morning in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. You can turn there in your Bible, on your phone, on your iPad, or whatever electronic contrivance you may have. You can actually open a book. There's one with pages in it. Right? It's right in front of you, in the seat back in front of you. For those of you who may be a little unfamiliar with the Bible, or Hebrews is in the dusty region that you aren't doing your devotions in, it's on page 972 in those Bibles in the rack in front of you. Keep looking. You find it. While you're doing it, I need to set this up for you so you understand where this is coming from. I don't know if you can see this too well, so I'll try and point it out the best that I can. But in this book of Hebrews, there is a, and in particular, in these few verses that we're going to do, there are a lot of allusions to the Old Testament and the Old Testament system of sacrifice, priesthood, and how things worked. And actually, the very layout of the sanctuary, you're going to hear some things. And so I want to make sure that we just set the scene so that when we go to Hebrews 9, 11 through 15, you're going to be familiar with this because in that book, it's just constantly moving back and forth from Old Testament to the New Testament, from the Old Covenant to the New, from the old pattern or way of doing sacrifices to the new one. And then it's constantly showing you the difference between the old and the new and the outcomes of the old and the new. It's just going back and forth all the time. So what this is, this right here is just a diagram of what the temple, a simple diagram of what the temple would be like. Here, there's an altar. A lot of burnt offerings were offered on that altar right there. This was a courtyard where they could come and they could bring a lamb or a bull or a cow or whatever it was that they were offering to God for the forgiveness of their sin or the cleansing of their, the purification that they needed. Whatever it was, it could be offered there. Then there was a big room in that temple that was separated into two rooms. This slightly bigger room was called the holy place. In the holy place, there was a table for a special bread that had to be put out there every day. Then there was an altar of incense. There was incense that was burned before God. It had to be burned constantly, day by day. And then over here, there was a lampstand that had to be kept burning constantly. It could never go out. And then over here, there was a big veil. It was a thick cloth veil. In the tabernacle was the first kind of temple that they used as they came out of Egypt, and it could be broken down and moved and then set back up. It was kind of like the camper temple, if you would. And then in this room, this was called the Most Holy Place, or the Holy of Holies. And in here was the Ark of the Covenant. And in that ark, there were a few things. And for our purposes, you don't need to know what they are. All you need to know is that was the layout. And what would happen is people could come here, and actually, the way this is laid out, this was the place where just men could come, and they would offer these sacrifices. And then the priests who had been appointed by God, they were part of the Levitical priesthood, so it came out of Aaron's line. And if they were dressed properly in their robes, if they were purified by blood and the sacrifices properly, if they were washed properly, if all of that that God told them had to be done to enter the holy place, the priests could go in there, and they could take care of the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the lampstand. But they had to be purified, cleansed. All of that had to be just perfect for them to go in there. And then, once a year, the high priest could go in through the veil into the Holy of Holies, into the most holy place, into the very presence of God. That's what the high priest could do. He would go in only once a year. He would never go without blood for his own sins and for the sins of the people of Israel. And it would be the blood of sheep or goats or bulls or however they did that. But this is the temple. You're going to hear some references in the verses we're going to do about the holy place and about the most holy place, or about the Holy of Holies. And I just want you to see what that looked like in the Old Testament. So the priest, the high priest, it's only the high priest and only once a year and never without blood, would go in there to make atonement, to make sure that the sins of the Israelites were forgiven. He would do that once per year. Now, what the scriptures just before this one say is that this whole system, this whole Old Testament system, the Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed. Well, it had been. The high priest could go in and out. But the author of Hebrews is saying, yeah, but there's better news. There's really good news coming. And yet in this system, it hadn't been disclosed yet. As long as this tabernacle was functioning, it hadn't been disclosed. And this is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered in the Old Testament system were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They couldn't clear the conscience of the worshiper. Think of that. A clear conscience. What would it take to do that? That's what we're going to see in these next few verses. So this Old Testament system was in place, and they had a high priest, and all of that was going on. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, and so what they're doing is they're making some comparisons here. The author is making some comparisons. There was a high priest in the Old Testament system, but now Christ, he's the high priest. I mean, he's the highest of high priests. He's actually in a different order than Aaron. His priesthood will never end. That's just previous to this in the book of Hebrews. So he is the high priest of the good things that are now already here. In other words, because Christ has come, there are some good things, and the verb form tells us that those good things have begun, and they've started to multiply, they've started to take root, they're getting better and better and better. The high priest of the good things that are now already here is Christ. He is the one that brought those good things. He is the good thing, and he does give good things. And the NIV says he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, but that creates some theological difficulties, which I'm not going to discuss right now, because what I want to point out is that this is a difficult translation. It might mean he went through, but then it sounds like he went through this more perfect tabernacle. And when we get to the place where that tabernacle is described, it's going to be described in just a few verses, you're going to think, well, what does it mean that he went through that? That doesn't make any sense. Well, the word that's used, the Greek word for through, can also mean in connection with. And so it may mean, yeah, through this high priest, Christ, the high priest of the good things that are already here, went through the greater, more perfect tabernacle, or he's the great high priest of the good things that are now already here in connection with the greater and more perfect tabernacle. It's neither of them is quite right, but it's kind of that idea. Okay? And I say that because I don't want you to come back and think, oh, wait, how could he go through that? He just walked through? What? And that's not what's being said. Okay? So in connection with this greater, more perfect tabernacle, and we're not told just yet, it's coming in a few verses, what that greater and more perfect tabernacle really is. But it's a tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, it's not a part of this earthly creation, this like the temple was, or like the tabernacle was. It is not that. But there is a more perfect tabernacle, and like Christ is a type of high priest, this tabernacle is a type of tabernacle. It's shown in the Old Testament tabernacle, just like the high priest kind of showed what Christ would be as high priest of the new covenant that we'll see here in a minute. But anyway, it's Christ. He started off all of these good things in his coming, but now he's gone through he's connected to this greater, more perfect tabernacle. Christ did not enter this tabernacle, this more perfect tabernacle, is what it's referring to here, by the blood of goats and calves. That's how you entered the old tabernacle. Always, continually, constantly with blood to purify yourself and anything you entered. If you entered it as a sinful person, it was always in need of purification. And so in the Old Testament system, there were always these sacrifices of goats and calves and bulls and heifers to purify you and that temple near God that you entered. But Christ entered the most holy place. Remember the pattern up here? He entered the most holy place, and it's not talking about the earthly tabernacle. Remember the verse just before that? It's the more perfect tabernacle. He's entered that, and he has entered the most holy place, and he has done it once for all. One time he entered that, and he did it by his own blood. And the result of that is he obtained eternal redemption. This was a powerful thing that happened. When he entered this most holy place, he only had to do it once. That's very different from what had to happen in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, where the sacrifices had to be constant and they had to enter continually. And the high priest had to go in year after year after year. And they had to continue to kill goats and calves and lambs and all kinds of animals for the blood that had to be used to purify this. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, why that was so necessary. But Christ, by his own blood, obtained this eternal redemption. What you do not want to see, and there's some commentators out there who comment on these things in their books and their writings that will say, well, Christ took his own blood somehow, and he actually took it into this new tabernacle. That is not what's being referred to. When it says that he entered by his own blood, it's saying that it would be like saying that because of the blood that he shed on the cross, he entered this most holy place once for all. And with this blood that he shed on the cross, he obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. This is referring back to Numbers chapter 19. You can read it there later. And what happened there, they would take a red heifer, they would kill it, and then they would burn it. And I mean totally burn it, and they would keep all of the ashes from that red heifer, and then with water that had been ceremonially purified, they would take the ashes from that heifer, put it and mix it in the water, and when somebody had committed some offense, like they'd touched something dead, if you touched something dead, you had to go through a purification ceremony to enter the temple. And so they would take this ashes of a heifer and water, and they would sprinkle people because that made you acceptable to go into the presence of God. That's what you would do. And so what they were saying is, what he's saying here, the author of Hebrews, is the blood of goats and bulls would do this. It would actually prepare you to walk into that temple, into that place of God, and to draw near to him. How much more then? So if that's what happened with the blood of a goat and a red heifer, if that's what happened, how much more then will the blood of Christ? It's important to note that at this point in the book of Hebrews, Christ has been identified clearly in chapter 1 as God himself come in the flesh, as creator of angels, of heaven and earth, and all there is. He has been revealed as the Son, the Lord, the Master of all that is, and the one who comes and sacrificed himself. Hebrews 1 lets us know that this is who Christ is. And it's this Christ and his blood. How much more than will the blood of that Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit, offered himself unblemished to God. Again, an allusion to the Old Testament sacrifices, because each of those animals that were sacrificed had to be unblemished, perfect specimens. And so this is saying that the Holy Spirit is leading Christ himself, and Christ, God in the flesh himself, unblemished, offered himself to God. If those sacrifices in the Old Testament with bulls and goats and a red heifer could cleanse people so that they could walk into the temple, how much more will Christ and the blood of Christ, guided by the Holy Spirit, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? In other words, if that's what those animals did, think of what the blood of Christ can do. And he identifies what it does. He clears our consciences from the acts, the sins that lead to death. Known sins, those things that you feel guilty about that night, you think, what was I thinking? Why did I do? Why did I ever go with? Why did I ever let my... Right? To those things that bother your conscience. And The implication here is also those things that don't bother your conscience but should. Because think of where we've just come from. He's describing the Old Testament sacrifices. And there were people that thought, all I have to do is those Old Testament things. If I do those Old Testament things, if I just do all the washings, all the ceremony, all the, you know, dot all the I's, cross all the T's, if I do that, I'm good with God. Even if I misuse my slaves, even if I'm cruel to the poor, even if I have no heart for God, I'm still okay because I did all that. What he's saying here is he'll clear your conscience even of those, and it might be better interpreted or might be better translated, dead acts. In other words, they didn't have any effect. And yet you think they did. He's cleansed your conscience even from those so that we may serve the living God. So we've been moved from dead works to where we not only can approach the living God, we get to serve Him. And all of that is because of the blood of Christ that He shed once for all. For this reason, in other words, so that we can be moved from dead works to life in Christ and serving God, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. This can also, for this reason, can also refer to what's coming. It can refer to what's back. That's what I just mentioned. But it can also refer to, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. And it's difficult to say which it's referring to. It might be both. It's probably one or the other, but there's nothing to point out which one it is. So for this reason, Christ is the mediator. That's the key. He has now become that go-between like a high priest was. What a high priest did when he went into the Holy of Holies, he became that mediator between God and the people of Israel. He went in and provided for the purification of their sins when he went into the Holy of Holies. That's what's being pointed to here with Christ. When he came, when he died, when he shed his blood once for all, he became the mediator of a new covenant between God and all of those who were called and all of those who were going to receive the promised eternal inheritance. He became the mediator of that covenant. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. So two things are clear here. Those who are called, you and me, all of us who have been called by God and who believe, and those who committed sins under the first covenant. Probably talking about Jewish people who did everything right under the first covenant, but still needed Christ as that mediator between them and God. This is who Christ is. This is who he has become because of the blood that he shed. As you're looking at those Bibles, you're going to see some things in 9:16 through 21. It would take me a long time to explain those. I'm just going to summarize it because that's what verse 22 does. In fact, the law, Old Covenant, requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. The temple, the law, everything, when Moses did it, he cleansed it, and it had to be constantly cleansed because sinful people were constantly walking into that temple. And so everything had to be constantly cleansed. And everything had to in the law. The law required that. And without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. That's why the blood was so important. That's why he keeps talking about this blood that was shed. That's why we keep comparing it between the Old Testament blood of animals that was shed, and in the New Covenant, the blood of Christ that was shed. And then he goes on to say, it was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things, talking about the Old Testament sanctuary, to be purified with these sacrifices of bulls and goats. But the heavenly things themselves, and now we get a picture of that more perfect tabernacle. Now we see what he was talking about. the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than those goats and bulls and calves and all of the rest. They did what they needed to do for that, but if you're going to enter the more perfect tabernacle, if you are going to enter heaven itself, it will require a better sacrifice than those. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary, the heavenly one, Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands, in other words, that earthly sanctuary, that was only a copy of the true one, again, talking about the earthly sanctuary. He entered heaven itself. That's the more perfect tabernacle, heaven itself. He entered the very presence of God. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. He stands in the very presence of God, our mediator. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. In other words, in the old covenant, it just had to happen again and again and again and again. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all. At the culmination of the ages, what it's talking about there is the way the New Testament sees the first sojourn of Christ on this earth, when he was born, when he died. That was the beginning of the end of all of the ages. God's redemptive plan is in its last phases. Christ has been introduced. Salvation through him has been introduced. His resurrection, his seat now at the right hand of the Most High, and he has appeared there once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin, yours and mine, by the sacrifice of himself. Once for all time. There aren't many things that you can do once and have them be effective throughout your life, are there? I mean, wouldn't it be nice if you could pay your federal income taxes once, right? And the IRS comes to audit you and you say, no, I paid them in the 70s. We're good. Oh, yeah, you're right, Mr. Rathman. Yeah, you know, not many things are good once for all time, are they? Not many. So when you bump into something that's once for not just your life, but for all time, we want to pay attention. Because once before a time, the plan of God was that once for all time, Christ would do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Once for all time. There are some of you who have followed Christ for a long time. Long, long time. And for you this week, for you, it's just a matter of reflecting and believing that once for all time, Christ died for you so that your conscience could be clear and you could approach God pure and holy, clean. For you, it's remembering that in Jesus Christ, in the work that he did on the cross, the shedding of his blood there, that he and that work were so thorough and so complete and so pure and so holy, and so effective, that for you who believe, every sin forgiven, And you can approach God now and throughout all eternity, clear of conscience, knowing that the one who is faithful will sanctify you through and through, spirit, soul, and body, so that you can stand in the presence of God Most High. And that was all provided for you because of what Christ did once for all time. That's how powerful that sacrifice was. That's how effective that blood of Christ is. And the reason that you want to be thinking that throughout this week is because when you consider what it is to be clear of conscience before a holy God, that seasons your Christmas season with great, great joy. Oh, yes, it does. Even though it's hard to believe. And I know that. Because there's times I feel guilty. I look at what I've done, said, thought. And then I remember, once for all time, once, Christ, that sacrifice, so good, so perfect. And now I'm in Him and He's in me. And that's just great, great joy. Some of you may be here for the first time, or second, or third, and this thing we keep talking about, this relationship with Jesus, this purity before Him, you're not sure that you're there. To you, I would just say, ask Him to forgive your sin. Ask Him right now, forgive me of my sin, God. And what you did and talked about in those verses, clearing my conscience of dead acts, of things that lead to death, do that. Because I want to be yours. I want to be yours now and throughout eternity. I want that eternal redemption. I want to live free of those dead acts. I want to live clear of conscience. Just ask Him. And as you reflect this week with us who already believe, what I think you'll find is a joy creeping into your soul and into your life and into your celebration, because you too now have believed that what Christ did for us once for all time also applies to you. So, friends, this week, our thoughts are simply this. We draw close to God. We enjoy Him. We love Him. All because of what Christ did once for all time. Amen. Heavenly Father, it can be so hard to believe that so much could be accomplished on our behalf. It can be so hard to believe that we are clear of conscience, that we are without spot and free from condemnation in Your presence. Not because of the way we act or think at times, which is less than holy, but because Your Son won once for all time, shed his blood to clear our conscience and make us holy and able to stand before you. O Lord, as we live that way and remember that and think of that throughout this week, as we serve you, as we live for you, I pray that you will fill us with great, great joy because of what Christ did for us once for all time. In his name we pray. Amen.